The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider where he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. So I have a question for you this morning. Not surprising, because I usually have a question. How many of us like to move, to change houses, pack everything up? Anybody? Oh, I saw a finger pointed to somebody. Not really, huh? You know, I'm with the United Methodist Church, and we are itinerant pastors, so that means that if the bishop calls you up or the district superintendent and says you're going, you move. And so during my course of years of appointments, when I was moving from church to church, I went to various ones over the course of 30 years, and it was so awesome to meet and experience faith from so many different folks across those years. Yet moving is hard work. You know the drill. We have to pack the boxes. Well, we have to sort the stuff. We have to pack the boxes. Then we have to deliver the items. We have to unpack. We have to cancel service, set up service. Whew, it's exhausting. And when you get into the new place, then you have to start decorating the new digs, right? All of that takes choices. As hard as physically moving is from one location to another, it is often harder even to make an internal move. You know what I mean by an internal move? When you're not holding that grudge any longer. When you've been able to forgive someone that truly, deeply hurt you. Those are internal moves of one action in our thoughts, in our feelings toward another. Anybody ever hear of the author and deceased priest Henry Nouwen? Yes, yes, of my buddy there. So Henry Nouwen is one of our great 20th century spiritual authors. And folks will be reading him for 100 more years. One of his books is called The Inner Voice of Love. And in it, he states how very difficult it is to move from the house of fear within our hearts, the house of despondency, the house of depression, to the house of love. He writes this, and I read it quoting, saying, "Every time you experience the pain of rejection, absence, or death," now, don't think of death just as the end of one's life, Every time relationship ends, every time there's transition, a new beginning, something old is done, is death. He continues, you are faced with a choice. You can become bitter and decide not to love again, or you can stand up straight in your pain and let the soil on which you stand become richer and more able to give life to new seeds. Another author that I truly enjoy, Parker Palmer, puts it this way. He says, okay, so we've got a heart, right? That's my best heart shape I can do, you know? So we've got a heart, and sometimes it gets broken. Does it get broken so that we have these shards, sharp, jabbing pieces? We're so angry, we're so hurt, we start skunking around, I'm hurt, so I'm going to make sure you hurt too. Or he says, we have a heart and it breaks all the way open. And right here at the bottom is where Henry Nouwen's talking about that new soil for a new seed, a hope of forgiveness, a new perspective. Something new blossoms up in us, and with our heart broken wide open, we are able to receive others, to receive God, to receive ourselves even more Christ-like in our humanity, because this has us closed unto ourselves. But when it opens all the way up, it is a heart broken open for God. Moses says in our Deuteronomistic reading this morning, the choice is yours. This is his final sermon to the Israelites. They've covered a lot of ground, literally, a lot of ground together, and a lot of spiritual ground together. This is his very last sermon that he speaks to the Israelites. He's been their pastor a very long time. Why, it started way back in Egypt. Do you remember? That Moses brought them through the wilderness with the Exodus. And they stayed in that wilderness with Moses as a pastor for 40 years. Then they went into the Promised Land. And now they're in exile again because their actions, their behavior, their thoughts, their choices in life caused them to break covenant with God. Now, it's easy to look back and say, you know, I wouldn't ever do that. I wouldn't ever break covenant. But did anybody ever tell a white lie? Just a little one. You broke covenant. Did anybody ever have a nice thought that you should do something, I should write that note to somebody, but you didn't follow through, you broke covenant. Did anybody ever raise their voice at somebody else because they're mad? You broke covenant. So this day, the chapter 15 in Deuteronomy is his full speech, and we're only getting the little last end of it. But we're getting the part that he says, the choice is ours every day, every moment. How will we choose to live from the house of love, God's heart, in all of our actions? This is the question that he's addressing the community. He wants people to be very intentional in the choices that the community makes. And he's not talking to folks that are doing pretty good in the faith. He's talking to those that are demoralized, confused, apathetic people who are living in an economic ruin, politically divided, and spiritually demoralized. Exile, away from God. Moses is appealing to them to awaken, reawaken their faith. He's encouraging them to have hope. He introduces a new dimension of hope. Because often hope is seen as situational. I hope we'll get out of this tight spot in the traffic jam. I hope things will change with my daily living. I hope I'm able to do whatever it is. No longer, says Moses, can their hope be placed on getting them out of a mess in cultural living, not situational hope. Hope can no longer be just to avert catastrophic pain. I hope it doesn't thunderstorm when I'm trying to walk out of church today. Don't want to get hit with lightning. Situational. I hope death doesn't come too quickly. I hope the violence of inner city Columbus doesn't come all the way out here to the country. I hope the disaster of injustice and evil doesn't befall upon my grandchildren as they go through junior high and high school with the drug culture and all that's around. Moses is saying hope is much more foundational than that. It is a renewal of covenant. It is realigning ourselves in right relationship, in recovery of our heart house, so that we're no longer living in a house of fear or a house of depression, despondency, apathy, that we've moved into God's heart house of love. Moses is urging the Israelites, let's face it, you all are human. Recognize you have past failures. Accept them. Accept responsibility for them. Tell it to God. And meanwhile, at the same time, Moses is saying that he recognizes, because the Israelites are so human, this hope is not something that they can initiate on their own. We cannot, without God, have hope. And so Moses is inviting them to recognize that God is the source of our new beginnings, individually and culturally, that God is our hope. God is the moving van that moves us from the house of fear into the house of love. If, this is a big, big if they choose to be formed more deeply in their inward nature, their attitudes, their behaviors, their thought patterns, to become even more Christ-like, God-like love, that is, Moses says that you obey and you follow and you lean into the character of God, God will renew their lives. The community of the Israelites, like our modern-day society, I believe, is given a choice. Will the people individually and collectively in community choose to live as God loves as frequently as you take a breath? How many breaths have you had since you've been sitting here? Have you been counting? I don't know. Quite a few. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and our resistance, the house of fear, goes out. Moses is speaking timeless truths. The choice to allow God to be the greatest influence in how we respond to others, in how we engage with our days, in how we honor and worship God, even in our own families. Because somehow we get very comfortable with the ones we see day in and day out, year after year. And sometimes they're the ones that get our worst behavior. Not saying any fingers, but on occasion. We must live our faith out in our expressions, in our behaviors, in our words. You know, yesterday I sat down at the computer and opened it up, and lo and behold, this never happens, a horoscope thing popped up. Now I thought, I haven't checked a horoscope since I've been in junior high school, so what the heck? Now you need to know a little back history. My brother and sister-in-law came down from Cleveland. They were coming down yesterday because we'd been debating and talking to car dealers all week, and we've been seeing what we can do for me to buy a car. So then before they got there at my house, this horoscope pops up on my screen, and I said, what the heck? I might as well look at it just to see, right? You ready? Today, which was yesterday, will be turbulent emotionally and materially. Thinking about car buying. But stay the course. Remain cool and calm. And I read that as God saying, you know what? It is a little stressful. It is a little difficult. A lot goes into that. Stay this way so you have that place of new heart, new possibility. The current reality of our nation appears that a lot of folks kind of take religion and faith nominally. Only, you know, yeah, I believe in God. Don't do much about it, but I believe in God. To cover our bases for that ultimate time when we die. I've been saying I believe in God. I haven't done anything with it. Somehow, our nation is not necessarily central on the attributes of Christ. Looking at the ways injustice has happened, looking at the ways we speak to one another, the rise of child abuse, especially through the pandemic, when everything was shut down and there were no reporters in the schools of teachers for those children. Moses is saying, faith is not on the side. Faith in Christ is the central part of our lives. Make that choice. I don't know that we always do. One of the pieces of work that I do is read dissertations for doctoral ministry students so that they can have their defense and talk about why they've written, why it is, and if we passed them or not. So one of the students coming up for defense has written a 400-page dissertation. She's in Chicago and has the topic and did her research with a handful of parents in a church that are already coming to church to see how they parent their children in a way that faith is central. She did an 8-week study with them, and the results, I won't give you the whole 400 pages, don't worry. But the result was the parents realized after 8 weeks that they needed to deepen, to move out of some of the house of encumberment and more into the house of the heart of God so that they can have hope and a possibility of forming their children even more Christ-like. Christian identity is more than just what church do you belong to. It is intimately allowing ourselves, seeking intentionally to be informed and formed, informed that we know, that we read, that we study, but formed that we allow the breath of God to do what is impossible for humanity to do, to change our attitudes and our mannerisms and our thoughts, our emotions, into more Christ-like behavior. It is so easy for us to fall into a place of despair, to let that dominant disease of, I'm too tired, I don't have the energy, quickly and drastically, inflation is rising, hanging many people over on the margins of their lives, stressing out families, individuals for financial viability. Many children grow up in households with deprivation. Adults are often unemployed or underemployed and don't feel like they're making a mark. They don't feel like they're making a difference. And billions of people across our world are socially alienated in one form of public humiliation, injustice, prejudice. So in this environment, not Israel's environment, but in our modern day environment, it is crucial, not optional, that we open up ourselves all the way with that intentional choice of coming before God and moving out of the house of whatever resistance, whatever fears, whatever doubts, whatever it is that plagues us, and into the heart house of God. If you're looking for a place to start, I write a blog mostly every week, and you can check it out, because it's moving from the house of fear into the house of love this past week that came out. See how they correspond to the sermon? You know. So, how does God invite you to choose this day? How do you feel entrapped in anything? Worry, concern. This day, God desires for us to have even greater stability in the house and heart of God's love. May it be so. As Moses says, today you have a choice. Amen.